Each of the four Gospels presents the story of Jesus' life a bit differently. It's almost as if you are playing telephone at a party. You know the game. This is where the first person in line whispered something in the next person's ear, and that person does the same to the next person, and so on down the line. Then the last person announces to the group what he or she understood, and it is a very different story than the original. Well, the Gospels are all telling us the same story, but from different vantage points, or for different audiences. Matthew, for instance, begins with a lengthy and boring genealogy of Jesus. Interestingly, never mind. He also puts in Rahab there. Look her up. Thank you. While Mark and John start right up front with the ministries of Jesus and his cousin John already in progress. Luke, the precise physician, to put some order into these jumbled accounts, tells us that many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. And with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. That's his name. I have written this so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. This is rather like when you have the family all around the table at this big family get-together. We've gone through one at Thanksgiving, and we'll get through the next one on Tuesday, I hope. And someone starts a family story with, "I remember when Dad went to the garage," and someone interrupts and says, "But doesn't the story begin in the kitchen before he went to the garage?" Someone else butts in and says, "But the real part of the story," and you get the idea. So Luke starts in with an orderly version of the Jesus story. His introduction, if you notice this morning, includes some familiar songs. Newly pregnant Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth learns that Mary is pregnant, she sings, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." The Ave Maria. The Hail Mary. She says that Mary's news was so exciting that the child in my womb jumped for joy. To which Mary responds, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my soul rejoices in God my Savior." The Magnificat. And right after I finish this sermon, not too soon, you people are thinking, we will continue with a formulaic recitation of our beliefs. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ. You know, many faith traditions have similar formulaic phrases, songs, or stories which express their beliefs. Now, in one African community, when a woman decides to have a child, she sits alone under a tree and listens until she hears the song of the child who wants to come. Once she hears the song, she returns to the man who will be the child's father and teaches him the song. When they make love to conceive the child, they sing the song to call the child to them. When the woman is pregnant, she teaches the child's song to the midwives and old women of the village. And when the birth time arrives, the people surrounding the mother sing the song to welcome the child. As the child grows up, the other villagers learn the song. If the child falls or hurts his knee, someone picks him up and sings the song. When the child does something wonderful, the people of the village sing the song. When the child goes through rites of puberty and becomes an adult, the villagers sing the song. It goes this way through the child's life. At a wedding, the songs of the husband and wife are sung together. Finally, when the child grows old and lies in bed ready to die, all the villagers know the song and they sing it for the last time. Like this African group, perhaps, Mary sings a song about her soon-to-be-born child, who he is and who he will become. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Mary's song comes from deep inside her, right from her gut, and tells the hope of her people in a new way. Mary's song is not hers alone, it is also the song of a child who wants to come, who comes to do the will of God. Her song echoes in the events of her son's life, his death, and his exaltation. The song celebrates the God who keeps promises, not just to Abraham and Mary, but also to us. The church has picked up this song and sings it often. The Magnificat is a common text in the liturgy of the historic church. It has many musical settings, and many voices have sung it through the years and centuries. It is a song about Jesus, and it is first sung by the person who knew him best, influenced him most, and remain faithful to him always, his mother. The Magnificat announces that God scatters the prideful, dethrones the powerful, and drives the rich empty away. The God of the Magnificat takes sides, lifts up the lowly, providing a feast for the destitute. Years later in the Beatitudes, this Son of God and Mary says that those in need, those who hunger, and those who weep are happy. For the humble, there is hope. The doorway to the kingdom is low. All must bow to enter. Jesus calls the humble happy. He also said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. The Magnificat echoes through the lifetime of Jesus and through the lives we live as well. It points to a redemption achieved once for all and continues to unfold wherever the good news takes root. The overthrow of oppression that Mary's song proclaims turns out to be a continuing revolution. This song is a song of hope, pointing to the coming of this son of hers. And each of us sings a song from deep inside, a song about the future. If we are parents like Mary, that song may be about our child. Because for us parents, the future seems embodied in our child. But whether or not we are parents, each of us sings a song about the future. It's about hope. It comes from the heart. It reveals who we are, and it shapes the time ahead. Mary's song is our song. We can live in a way that magnifies and rejoices in the Lord. We can do this by the grace of her son, our brother. The song that turned out true in his life can turn out true in ours as well. So we can sing the Magnificat with our lives. It can become our legacy to our children and all who come after us. When our final hour arrives, we can hear this song of triumph sounding in our hearts. Excuse me. We can hear the song sounding in our hearts, ringing all around us, and know it is our own. For the God who kept faith with Abraham, who kept faith with Mary, who kept faith with Jesus, who kept faith with every past generation, keeps faith with us as well. And on this last Sunday of Advent, may the hope in Mary's song prepare us for Tuesday's birth of Jesus and the hope that his birth brings to us and to the world. Amen.